I am a dentist, and I only like to shoot with the best. So that's why I bought a Leica. They're beautiful cameras, and I've shot 7 photos on them in the last year, and it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I love it. Love it. I couldn't think of anything better to buy.
What about Zeiss, given that you're in medical imaging?
Nope, nope, nope. Leica. Leica is the best. Zeiss is nothing compared to Leica. Nothing.
But Zeiss do all the medical...
No, I don't mind.
You're a dentist.
I always prefer to have the better of any product that I ever buy. So I often go to the supermarket and look for the most expensive packet of broccoli. And then I make sure I cook it in still water from the fridge, of course, you know, out of the bottle. I don't bother with the... Welcome to What The Focus Podcast. I'm your host, Adam, and this is a photography podcast where we talk about photography 12 to 19.5% of the time. I think that's what I've got on Instagram at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Don't know what. I change it every couple of days. I wonder if anyone notices.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah, I put a lot of effort into it, I think. I really add it up in my head and go, I wonder how much we actually spoke about photography. But last week, if you missed last week's episode, we spoke about photography at least 50% of the time.
Yeah.
There wasn't too many tangents.
No.
And if it was a tangent, it was definitely directed at photography.
Yeah.
Well and truly.
We did talk about photography. I'm Ben, your other host.
Yeah, that's Ben.
But Ben. Yeah, I haven't noticed that you've been changing it on Instagram because I've been missing in action lately.
M-I-A.
Instagram does not rule my life.
No. Nor mine anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been a bit missing in action on the old Instagram too, which is fine.
I think it's good. Instagram's got a place, and I think if it's ruling your life, you got problems.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you don't have problems, but maybe you should do other things.
There was a girl I was watching on YouTube the other day, and she's like crying. She was crying on YouTube. Saying, oh, Instagram's taken away the likes. It's ruined my life.
Really?
Yeah, she's crying. She's like an influencer. But really, really she wasn't an influencer. She was just a girl that uses Patreon to promote her taking her clothes off. So she's pretty much a stripper.
Hang on. What?
She's pretty much a stripper. But she uses Instagram to put her stuff up, right? She's got 1 million followers or whatever. Then she gets people to go over to her Patreon and they pay $15 a month. And she has like 600 people paying $15 a month.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's actually more than that, I think. Maybe like 1,500 people or something. But it worked out to be about 15 grand a month US.
Right.
For her Patreon. And all she did was... take her clothes off, get her top and her bottom half out. Yep. Look, we were born the wrong people, Ben.
No,
we could be doing so well. You could be sitting at home looking after your kids, getting your wang out, and making 15 grand a month.
I would not feel good about myself doing that.
Maybe not.
This is the thing. Like, you might have the money, but
she might feel great about herself. Well, she obviously does because she was crying that Instagram took away the likes.
Yeah. See. That's the first red flag. I don't know. There's just a lot to be said about dignity.
I'd say.
Poor life choices.
Well, maybe not. It'd be great life choices if you make 15 grand a month just from one income stream.
You could nearly buy a GFX 100 every month.
Every month. Yep. Yep. And still pay your rent, kind of.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't pay your rent because they're like 16 grand, aren't they?
But if you're buying one a month, 12 a year, you could probably get some sort of discount.
Yeah, I'm sure Fuji will sort you out.
Yeah.
You know, you're buying 12 a year. You might be using them though. You just like you're in your room at night and all you're doing is you've got this machine that just holds down the shutter button. just giving you 1,000 shots a second. Oh, it's probably like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I don't know what the frame rate is for 100 megapixel.
I think it was medium format. I think it was 5 or 6.
Five or six?
Yeah.
It's like the 5D Mark II.
Certainly more than a 40D. you know, we've done well.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe in like the 5D Mark II, remember that? It's like the revolutionary camera and it like did 5 frames a second or some rubbish.
Yeah, but they also had the 1DS which was the studio thing, which it was slightly cropped, but that had like 11 or 12 frames.
It was like a 1.3 crop, wasn't it?
Yeah.
APH?
APS-H, yeah.
APS-H?
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. I remember that camera. Mm. My mate Steve has one.
Yeah, okay.
It's like 16 Steve. Megapixels or 13 megapixels something.
I don't know. It was 4 or 5. No, I don't know. It's definitely 7. More than that.
It's 12 megapixels.
I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't massive. I think maybe 16. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Most of the 1Ds aren't big anyway for a reason.
In the past.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
They need to be big.
No.
You want them nice and small. So the files snap out quicker. Just snapping them out. Like twigs on a tree.
Yeah.
I went camping again on the weekend.
Did you?
Had a fire.
Wow.
Went to Dalesford.
Oh, that's nice.
And then ran.
Hmm.
Mount Franklin. Head of Mount Franklin.
The water.
No. Yeah. Different one. Water, yeah, but a different one. It's like a mountain. I think it used to be an old volcano or something.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, went there, and I ran the next day. Woke up at like 8 a.m. and did like a 2-hour run. Oh, no, not 2 hours, hour and half.
Was this one of your organized runs, or this is just something you did for fun?
It was just me training.
Yeah, good on you.
I know. I'm a bit sore this week. It's my last week of training for my 50K run.
When's that?
Next weekend. Next Saturday.
Oh, 31st.
31st. Yep. Mm. Yep. Should come down.
I won't because I've got tentative plans.
No.
Mm.
Too good for me. Don't want to be seen outside of your house, do you, with me?
What? No, it's not that.
Imagine if that was a reason. It's like, yeah, look, I like you as a podcast friend, but every other time you just jog right on.
Yeah.
Get a
jog up here.
Get a dog up your head. I was trying not to say that.
Is that a dad joke? I'm not sure if it's a dad joke.
Wow, you're a dad. You're allowed to do them now.
Yeah.
That's part of the rules.
Yeah, definitely.
The minute you're a dad, they get you to chop the umbilical cord and they give you a license to tell dad jokes.
Yeah.
Without getting in trouble.
That umbilical cord is actually harder than what you think.
I could imagine.
It's not like cutting a raw sausage.
No, it wouldn't be like the sausages on the weekend, that's for sure.
Nah. You look at anything? No.
Yeah.
Raw sausage.
I can get through that.
No worries.
Yep. They'd probably just give you the blunt scissors so you don't stab someone afterwards.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's blunt scissors. Yeah. It's an old nursing joke.
Yeah. From way back. It's like, here you go. Chop this with this, dickhead.
Mm.
And you're trying to saw through it.
Just like blood 2 teaspoons everywhere. On a hinge. Yeah. And just like, what is going on? This thing's really tough.
The joys, hey?
Yeah.
The pleasure of it all.
Yes? I thought that we would briefly mention what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, knock it.
But now it feels forced.
Nah, just rattle it off.
Yeah, righto.
We've got some pretty cool things.
Yeah, lenses.
Lenses.
We're going to talk about... You asked me a question early today, what would my ultimate camera and or lens be?
Yep.
So I've thought about that for about 12 minutes.
14. 14 minutes maybe.
14 minutes, what?
I reckon 14.
Oh, maybe.
12 doesn't seem long enough.
It still doesn't feel long enough.
Yep.
And then some other stuff I can't remember.
Well, that's pretty much about it.
Yep.
We're just going to rattle that off for 2 hours.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So strap your socks in.
But first up, we should announce Ted's Cameras, our fine sponsors, and fine photography stores all around Melbourne and the rest of the country, because it's not all about Melbourne.
No. But,
terrific range, terrific help, terrific people. Just get in there. Get in there. I still haven't gone to the Melbourne store. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago I wanted to... I walked past because I was at work.
You'll never go in there,
I looked in the window. Yeah, I will.
No, you're lying to him.
I will.
No, I'm telling.
Looks really nice from outside.
It's nice.
I was busy at work. Yeah. And, so check them out. And they are supporting our monthly $50 donation to their stores for our What the Focus Picks photo challenge.
So if you... haven't already tagged some of your photos, What the Focus Picks, make sure you tag your photos, What the Focus Picks.
Mm.
And you'll win, possibly.
you'll win. I mean, we've liked everything that's come in, so you'll get you get a like.
You get from at least us, a like. Just
we can't do it anymore, can we? Yeah, we can.
Yeah, you can still like it. Things. Yeah, you just can't see how many likes I've got. Yeah. Cheeky buggers.
But yeah, anyway, our favorite pick for this week comes from Drew Ella's Photography with underscores in between Drew and Ella's.
And Photography.
Either side of Ella's.
Yep.
Yep. And it's of his Shawncliffe Pier image.
Yep. So it's
just stood out.
Yeah.
Colours.
It's a nice one. I texture. I'm pretty sure that pier gets shot from the ground a lot. So I'm not 100% sure whether I've actually seen one from. I probably have, but yeah, most of the time I think it gets shot from underneath. I think it's in New South Wales. I don't know where.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure it's the same pier.
Yeah.
Could be completely wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Could be in Bendigo.
Yeah, probably not Bendigo.
Could be in Mildura.
Piers are normally.
Piers are normally in oceans, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, not always. Unless a big lake.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a big lake. There's not many big lakes in Australia, though.
They're all drying up.
Yeah. Too dry.
Too dry.
Yep.
But, yeah, well done. Well done. Great post your pick. Loved it. It was a hard week this week for us to choose.
There was a couple.
Adam and I were just like, what about this one? Oh, yeah, I like that. Oh, what about this one, though? Oh, yeah. I like that one. Yeah.
I like it. But, yeah. good little photo. And, if you make sure you tag your photos and chance to also get a mention and a $50 gift voucher from Tez.
Yeah.
Get on it. Do it.
And it's still, we're going to extend our high pants shopping at Ted's for another week. So make sure you pull those trousers up nice and high.
Higher.
And higher head on in.
Yeah.
Say good day from us.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Yep.
You probably won't get any discounts. But you might. I don't know. Maybe they'll.
They might feel sorry for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sorry, but cry. You know, just enjoy. Breaks up the day.
Yeah, who knows? You know, there's no point not enjoying the day, is there?
No.
That's not a great thing to do.
I typically do what I can to enjoy the day each day.
Yeah, I enjoy most days every day, but 90% of the time it works every time. I've been scrolling through Google trying to find roadmaps for
lenses. Yeah, did the same.
Yep. Did you find a few?
Yeah, found a few. 2006.
The 24-70. EF 24-70. Yeah. That was a good one. Version 1.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I found one on the L-mount lenses for the S system.
L-mount Alliance.
Yeah, but for the Panasonic S.
The L-mount Alliance.
And it mentioned 6, and then there's like 4 left over in Japanese, and it just says fixed lens mount.
Yeah.
Super zoom, another fixed lens mount, and then macro. Was it macro? There's another one, but it doesn't tell you what they are. But there's for the G series.
Yeah. Some really good. It's like an 18-35mm 1.8.
I think you're not thinking of the, because I wrote it down. No, I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
It was a
maybe it's a 16-35 1.8. No, that seems a bit crazy, doesn't it?
No, it's a 1.7.
1.7.
It's like a 10-25, but with the Micro Four thread, so 2 times crop. So
it's
like
that's right. 20-50 1.7.
1.7.
That's bang on, which is like a 2.2 anyway. But that's still a banging lens.
What would you
do? And it's a de-clicked aperture ring too, from memory. So you could iris pull.
Yeah, right.
So it's mainly a video lens.
Yeah,
so
right.
So it's not focused by wire. It's quite large. I remember using it at that aperture conference. So it's quite a big lens.
Yeah, right.
And it's
that looks like about an 82mm filter mount.
It's big. It's about this big.
Oh, that's about
as big
than
as
that.
This drink bottle. So imagine if you put that on the front of a camera.
Yeah.
Shooting, snapping off.
Yeah.
Snapping off shots. De-clicked.
Yeah.
Aperture ring.
Yep.
And then the focus ring's not focused by wire, so it's all geared.
Yeah, right.
So you can actually focus pull properly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is very, very much a video lens.
Yeah, right.
That's nice. And that's, I reckon a couple of years ago, that would, or even 10 years ago, that would have been like the perfect lens for most people. 20 mil. Like, I think with video too, you don't end up shooting as wide.
No, no.
Only really specialized stuff is you shoot really wide. Like even 20 is probably too wide for video a lot of the time.
The only thing I can think of is like skate videos.
Yeah.
They're quite often shot like on the ground, rolling along, trick happens right in front of the lens.
Yeah, sure.
Everything's like,
but that's
like
more fisheye, that's like more of a fisheye though, stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And I shot a lot of fisheye stuff when I was shooting BMX.
Mm.
But that was like a, not sure what it would have been. I can't remember what I was shooting with. I don't think I shot much fisheye, actually. I think I shot, oh, maybe that, there was like an 8mm Sigma.
Mm.
8mm Sigma fixed 3.5.
Mm.
No, not Sigma, Samyang.
Yep.
Which is like a, you know, 15mm equivalent.
Mm.
A lot, a bit wider, probably 14mm equivalent on full frame. Because I was shooting with a crop sensor camera back then. Oh, still am.
Mm.
And, and, but then I started to shoot just wide angle rather than fisheye. Just because I like the look of it a bit more.
Yep.
Because fisheye kind of just, you know, it just distorts stuff in a funny way.
It's a specialty lens. Like, you know, you're only going to get a couple of shots.
You don't really, it's not really a lens that you would normally use in any form of photography, I don't reckon.
Look, weddings.
Yeah. Maybe for certain things, hey.
I reckon I've shot a full wedding on fisheye.
Sweet.
Just fisheye the whole way.
Just crop the whole thing in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was an underwater theme.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I thought,
was Pelican Pete there?
Yeah, Pelican Pete was there.
Is he having a good time?
Oh, he was just out of control.
Do you have
out
like of one control. Of those, you know those things that the cowboys wear? Like it's like a necktie?
Chaps.
Yeah, is that what they're called?
No.
Around the necktie? Yeah.
The hanky?
Yeah, around like the it neck? Like goes around the neck and then it goes into a little tie in the center. So instead of wearing like a bow tie or a tie, it's like this leather necklace. Goes on over the top of your shirt and then has like a little bullhorn in the middle or something like that and you feed that through it.
Oh, like what's like scouts?
Yeah, wear, kind of something sort of like that.
Like a rolled out tea towel with a...
Yeah, pretty much with a
serviette ring around it.
Serviette. Ah, it's living. Good on you. Fisheye. Underwater wedding theme.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's done it.
I didn't really shoot a whole wedding.
No.
With a fisheye lens.
Yeah. I shot a whole, no, I don't know, probably not much with a fisheye.
Mm. I've never used one.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Yep. So we were lying about the wedding then. So is this what this podcast has become to? This podcast just become to lying.
Just lies.
Lies. Pure lies.
Lies and deception.
They're actually not even photographers.
Mm.
I've never taken a photo in my life.
Yeah.
I just download them all off eBay.
Mm.
Yeah. Buy them straight on eBay and just post them up.
Yeah.
Get them off stock websites.
You'll come undone.
I will. Someone will get me.
I was listening to a podcast yesterday about a photographer, and he was asked if you made up a pie chart of where your income comes from.
Yeah.
Roughly what portions
are
that. And he said he gets a lot from, say, writing articles, selling prints, headshots, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And then after that, a big chunk comes from, I guess, recovering costs from suing people who have stolen his photo.
Oh, really?
Online, yeah. So reverse image searches his own photos.
And sues him.
And
good on him.
Goes after them with the lawyer because it's like, well, had they just asked him, said, hey, do you mind if we use your photo for such and such? Yeah, sure. This is the price.
Yeah,
no worries. Awesome.
Yeah,
but they don't do that. So he's got to go and recoup that cost. And fair enough. But it was a huge chunk of his annual thing. And I've never reverse searched my own photos. But I mean, I haven't really put them up anywhere. So who knows? But
yeah. I have a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, not enough to actually know if anything's been stolen. I'm very blasé when it comes to that kind of stuff. I just don't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd probably care if it was, I don't know, if Qantas started using one of my images on the side of their planes. But, yeah, they're probably not going to do that.
No, I dare say they'd probably pay someone to go and do it.
Yeah. Mm. They'd probably have someone. Oh, no, they'd use an agency, I would say. Yeah. Anyway, back to lenses. We kind of went off track then, didn't we?
Went off track.
Really went off track.
Yep.
Straight down the long and curlies.
Yeah.
Tracks.
Yeah.
Yep. The other one that I saw that was pretty appealing, all right, was a 50 mil to 80 mil zoom.
I wrote it down on this bit of paper.
1.1. 50 to 80 mil.
Yeah, 1.1.
For the RS constant mount. Constant, apparently.
Yeah, right.
I saw it somewhere.
Mm.
I could be lying.
Rumors site? It wasn't a rumors site that you saw, was it?
No, oh, it could have been.
Yeah.
I think it was on F-Stoppers.
Yeah, okay.
Seemed to have a reasonably good source of information.
Mm.
But that's kind of like your, that's your, you know, if you want to shoot portraits, there's your portraits.
You're covered.
You're covered.
Mm.
Good constant aperture on a full frame.
Woo. Yeah.
You know, you've got good, if it's a good lens, it's going to weigh as much as a house.
Yeah.
Cost about as much as a house as well.
Probably, like, it's probably good if you're, say, shooting a mascara.
Yeah.
Commercial, because that's about all you're going to get in focus. Well, you probably only get 2/3 of someone's eyelashes in focus.
Yeah.
At 1.1.
Depends on how far you're back, though.
Well, if it's eyelashes, you want to be close.
Yeah. Give yourself a little bit of distance, increase your depth of field, and that's living.
Mm.
Made the dream happen.
Mm.
Yeah, that'd be a good lens. I think that'd be a good one if you're a portrait shooter. Portrait or wedding photographer, I reckon if you had that.
Yeah.
That lens on your second camera.
That'd be amazing for.
And then a 35mm 1.4 or something on your other camera, that's you're living.
You're sort of done then, aren't you?
That's all you'd need for a wedding.
Yeah.
Maybe a wide angle for some shots.
Yeah.
Which is pretty rare. Maybe a macro. But then if that focus distance was really short as well for that 50 to 80.
So if at the 80 focus you can distance get a reasonable...
was close.
Yeah.
Like if it was like, you know, 30 or 40 centimeters minimum focus distance, I reckon you'd do really quite well. But I would assume it'd be a bit longer. Well, maybe not, though.
Don't know
much about minimum focus distances for lenses.
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
Couldn't rattle them off,
I just know that a few of them, like a few of my lenses, like my 16mm's got a minimum focus of like 3 centimeters.
Most of the time when it's wide angle, you can get closer, obviously.
Yeah.
And longer the lens gets, the more the, you know, the focus distance kind of increases. But, yeah, don't know.
Mm.
That'd be a good little lens. I think that's the really cool thing about technology is it's just gonna get better and better and better. And that's the cool thing about photography in general. Like digital photography is really, it's really only like 15 years old.
Yeah.
Consumer wise. You know, sure, there was 20 years ago, there was digital cameras out, but you know, you'd need a sell your house just to actually be able to afford to buy one.
Well, I don't think they were all that much. They were just kind of, no, I wouldn't say useless, but they just weren't at a standard where you could do anything with them.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I
remember people talking about how they kept using their film cameras, even though they had their digital cameras, because the digital just wasn't up to the same standard as the film. Which, you know, makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's why I held on to my Nikon FE.
Mm.
And yeah, my first digital camera was 2007.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
2007, geez.
I had friends with them in 2001.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, 2007 was my first, the 40D.
Had that until a couple of days ago.
I've still got it.
Oh, it's still up there.
Yeah, I've had thoughts over the years of getting the sensor changed out to an infrared sensor.
Oh, yeah.
Because you
can do that, can't you?
Yeah. And then that would just be a dedicated infrared lens, because then you don't need... so I've got a 82, number 82 infrared filter, which is pretty much...
Oh, yeah.
Like a 10-stop ND.
Yeah.
Yeah, it filters out so much light. So you got to set up without the filter on.
Yeah.
And then put it on, slightly, and then kind of guess the focus because the infrared focus is slightly off.
Oh, yep, yep, yep. I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you know how most lenses you've got infinity, and yep, infinity's typically too far. You've got to go just back from infinity. I've got a feeling the infinity point on an infrared lens is a little bit past a UV lens.
The other end, the other side of it.
Yeah. It's either that or it's – well, some lenses have even got a little red line right near infinity indicating where the infinity point is.
For infrared.
For infrared.
How does it
– but if you get on the sensor,
knock it off?
How do you want it?
How does it knock the focus off?
It's just slightly shifted somehow. It's just the way the light bends through the lens.
Through the infrared.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
But you can't see what you're doing, so you kind of got to set up and then put the filter on and then kind of shift. But I really didn't use it enough. I've got a couple shots on my feed that have been shot with them.
Yeah.
Kind of cool effect, but...
You're not going to use it an everyday thing of the week, are you?
But the benefit of having the sensor is that you can then use all your standard lenses and the speed of those lenses. So it's not a 25-second shot, you know, every single time. Like, you don't have that.
You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to lose the light.
Stop right there.
The
you can still handheld. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Mm.
Good if someone made just a full infrared lens. All the elements were infrared.
Mm. But it might be the same thing where it just cuts out way too much light.
Mm, true.
That was an expensive filter back in the day. It was like $240 or something.
Jesus.
Mm.
You wouldn't even pay that much now for a normal filter.
No.
Not really.
Well, I just spent, $800, $900 on...
Nissi stuff.
Nissi stuff.
But that's...
CPLs, $200-something bucks.
$390 or something, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Nah. Don't know what you're talking about.
Certainly use that a lot more than infrared, though.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just slide on an infrared, can you?
No.
Take some pictures of your kids.
No.
Running through the park, gloriously playing on their swings, having the time of their lives. They've never had so much fun. They're thinking that this is life.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize.
They've got no idea.
They have no idea. And now I had no idea how shit their life's going to become. Yeah.
It's like that opening scene from Terminator 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Sarah Connor's watching the kid on the playground, and then she's like, you guys have got no idea, and then boom.
Big radioactive wave just slips straight through them.
Yeah.
And they melt, don't they?
That is... Oh, they disintegrate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like to, they just dust away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Thanos.
Thanos
on the Avengers, it clicks
his fingers. Spoiler alert, maybe.
Nah, not so much.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched any of them.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
If you're bored, 20 episodes, 20 movies.
There's a few of them.
You know? Yeah, get ready.
Mm.
Good fun.
Mm.
Yeah, I like them. Fun.
So lenses.
We can make it into a film podcast.
So I think the cool thing is this L series or L mount alliance between Sigma, Leica, and Panasonic.
Do you say Sigma?
I said Sigma. Yeah, said them first.
Leica.
Yeah, I said them second.
Okay.
Yep, Panasonic. I think I was third, but I'm not sure. I'd have Panasonic to listen back. Yeah,
you have to listen back.
Yeah,
just cut this bit out.
Yeah,
fine.
I'll just cut this out.
Yeah. So Panasonic, Leica, and Sigma.
Yeah.
Did we say Leica?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Yeah. So it's Leica, Panasonic, and Sigma. Leica.
Do you think there's going to be more alliances moving forward?
No. Everyone's too... I don't know why. I don't even know why they've hooked themselves into each other.
Well, you've seen Panasonic lenses with...
Leica
on them.
Leica.
For a long time.
Mm.
Long time.
And Zeiss seem to make most lenses with different mounts. Sigma makes most mounts for all their lenses.
Mm.
You know, E-mount.
They don't make Nikon. Camera bodies.
Sigma. Sigma do.
What do you mean?
They make a great little camera. They have the smallest full frame DSLR that got launched a couple of weeks ago.
What?
It's tiny. It's about as big as this phone.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about this.
Yeah.
We should do with a news thing
what,
on it.
What the focus in the news. So Sigma's just released a...
Yeah, right.
Just roll straight into it. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I never heard.
And they make, a couple of cameras. So they've got these weird... Oh, I can't remember what they're called now. I was going to buy one. They're quite affordable and they're fixed lenses.
Yep.
Right? The DP0, DP1 and DP2. All right? So the DP0 is like a 20 mil equivalent lens built in to the camera.
Mm.
The DP1's a 24 for a number, I don't know. And the DP it goes up to 70, you know? So it goes up to DP3, I think it is. Quattro DP1 and 0 1 2 3 4. All right, and they're super cool little cameras, and they're stacked CMOS sensors. So they're only 15 megapixels, right? But then they're stacked. So the theory is that with your 15 megapixel camera, you can get the equivalent of a 45 megapixel resolution.
Yeah, right.
But in a 15 megapixel form.
Right.
And it's just a stacked sensor of the RGB array.
Yeah.
Don't really know how it works. But I was going to buy one. They're quite affordable. They're only like $1,500.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, they look stupid.
Where have I been?
They look like a long phone, like the same height as a phone, but then really long, and the lens sticks out, and they look kind of silly.
Kind of like a smaller like film panoramic camera.
Yeah, sure.
Like a 6x9 or something.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, right.
Cool little cameras. I'd really like to try one out.
I think it's
probably old technology now.
Yeah.
And they made another DP something with the same. So the reason they built the lens into it in the first place was a lot to do with it, that the, because even with pulling lenses off and on, it changes the, how close the lens sits to the sensor.
Yep.
By micromillimeters. Right. So with the way that this sensor array was arranged, the lens had to sit the exact perfect amount every time.
Yeah.
So that's why they built it into the lens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
built the camera into lens. Yeah. Lens into the camera.
Fixed spot.
Yeah. Mm. And then they made another one, I don't know what it was called, DP something again. And that was the one where you could put Sigma lenses on it, Sigma mount onto a Sigma camera.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that one looks stupid as well. But yeah, now they handful of weeks ago, they've got the smallest full frame camera.
Right. Is it mirrorless or?
Mirrorless, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Otherwise it'd be big. Yeah, it looks really good.
Silly question.
40 something
megapixels. I wasn't sure if it was like a smallest, you know, SLR or.
No.
Yeah, right.
Let me have a little Google. But it looks, you know. Looks like a good little camera. bless you, dear Ben. Bless you. It's FP.
I feel better now.
It's the FP. It's the smallest full frame camera, FP, and it's only 24 megapixels.
Only 24 megapixels.
Yeah.
24 megapixels is a bit of a magic number with...
Yeah. Seems to be a good number.
Mm.
I don't think you need a lot more than 24 megapixels.
No.
Just quietly.
I'd like more, sure. But only for certain things.
L-Man Alliance. It looks cool.
So just look.
There he is. Pretty much all lens, obviously, because it has to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously your lens mount.
There's nothing around it, is it?
Yeah, your lens mount takes up most of it, doesn't it? Because it has to. You can't shrink your lens mount down. Not for a full frame.
What's going on the side there?
Don't know. What is it?
Well, I'm not sure if that's... I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Yeah, so they've been doing cameras for a while.
Well, there you go.
Never would have known.
Don't I feel silly?
Nope, don't feel silly. I don't reckon a lot of people would have known that they make cameras anyway.
Yep.
Because they're not all that popular.
Well, there's no viewfinder.
On this? Mm. No.
So that'd help with the size?
Yes. Yeah. probably be a little bit annoying. I kind of like a viewfinder.
I'd almost use a viewfinder more than the back of the screen.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I wouldn't, but then at the same time too. So they're the DPs. They look nifty.
Oh, wow. How yeah, they're really they
retro. No, not retro. What's the opposite to retro?
Shit.
Yeah.
No.
Average.
No.
Yeah.
No, they...
I'd love to give one a burl.
Kind of looks a bit similar to that new Zeiss thing.
Yeah.
Although a lot more stretched out, but Zeiss has got the angular sort of...
yeah, true. Yep. They're probably yeah, right. all...
Oh, well, there you go.
They're probably all in bed with each other anyway, so...
Head in the sand.
Yep. Head in the sand.
Mm.
But yeah, they look really good, and they're, you know, they're cheap. They're from, yeah, 1,300 Australian.
Yeah, right.
Which would be, you know, if it's going to give you a really high quality, nice looking image, like, sure, you'd have to, you obviously can't change your, can't change your lens length, but if you're happy with a, you know, like this one's a 19 millimeter lens, 35 millimeter equivalent of 28 millimeters, 28 to 8.
Yeah.
And it gives you, it's a, well, this is a 29 megapixel camera, but it resolves to 39 megapixels.
Right. Okay.
I have no idea how. Magic.
Mm.
Pure.
How does the S1R go from 48 to 180 odd? Do you know that or?
With what?
The S1R, the Panasonic.
Just pixel shifts. No, sorry, it sensor shifts.
It sensor shifts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't know how it sensor shifts so much that it gives you 180. But then I guess it's, you know, if it's 50 megapixels already anyway, isn't it? 40 something, 46.
Well, if it goes up, down, left, right.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, that's four positions.
Yeah. That's so that's giving us 200. Yeah. And then they're going to overlap a little bit. Yeah, 180. Pretty realistic. Yeah, that's cool how they can do that.
Yeah.
And reasonably quick too. I think you can do them in a way that it's that it, you know, you could actually capture something happening. Like it moves it quick enough that, you know, it only takes if your shutter speed's fast enough, obviously. If you're doing a 30-second exposure, it needs to do a 30-second exposure every time it moves, I would assume.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe you can only go to a maximum.
Yeah, no, it must.
Or maybe you can only go to a maximum shutter speed of 4 seconds or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems pretty realistic.
Mm.
That's probably how it goes, actually, knowing how cameras work. But, yeah, it's you know, if it's like 50th of a second or 125th of a second and you can capture something actually happening, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Why would you do anything smaller? And then, but then at the same time too, it's like they do the same thing with Micro Four Thirds, with your Olympus cameras as well. You can do that same pixel shift or the sensor shift thing.
Yep. Yeah, it's not. I think they were. They've had them in phones. I'm not sure what phones, but I think they've had sensor shift in their phone sensor or shift. Pixel shift in their phone or something.
Yeah. Okay.
In their phones or something.
Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, it just creates a bigger image, and it, you know, they work pretty well. Looks like it's stitched together.
There was a forget his name now, macro photographer. But he used Gary. That Panasonic. Yeah, it might have been Gary. I don't think it was Gary actually.
Edward.
But yeah, he
Fred. Lewis. Maloney.
You're not sure.
Okay, cool. I thought if I kept saying names, I might be able to guess it.
Yeah, we might have got there.
No, we're gonna get there eventually.
Yeah.
Robert?
Oh, might be Robert.
There you go.
Find out.
Robert's a good name.
But he did. So he's done a bit of macro, and he's starting to push the boundaries of macro. Dom Comaretcher.
Look, I was close.
Yeah,
it's pretty Dom much the same name.
Comaretcher.
Lewis. Retcher. Lewis Maloney.
I think his website is doncom com. Doc ca.
Yeah, Ripper.
He's Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah. .com.co, I think. But he has done kind of, in a way, like air quotes, pushing the boundaries or pushing macro photography into new boundaries because he's using his macro lens, but then because he's, you know, you've got 180 megapixels to play with, you can now only choose like a small portion of that and then that is so much bigger. So you can sort of, you know.
Pretty cool.
It's almost like a, you know, you're cropping in on
big image.
And the resolution's there, yeah.
There's some, people do some cool stuff when, you know, there's some pretty cool people out there. Doing cool things. You know, not just in the landscape world, like me and Ben.
No.
Pushing the boundaries of landscape photography.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somewhat.
Really pushing it hard.
I plan on pushing boundaries next weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. Sort of.
I'm going to push it a bit this weekend.
I'm a bit nervous because I've never really done astrophotography. I'm going to try astrophotography. So if it's a clear night, astrophotography, and apparently the aurora is going to kick off the last 3 days of August.
Okay.
Day or two of September. That's what they're predicting anyway, so whether it happens.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, you're going to head south somewhere and try and do some astro aurora australis.
Where are you going?
Magic. Secret. Now, I'll probably go down to Pulpit Rock, Cape Shank.
Okay, yep.
Mm.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking.
It's probably a good place to go. It's pretty southerly.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So the second thing on our little list of joy, list of happiness, I think that's what I called it last week, didn't I?
Yeah.
Is I asked Ben today, and he thought about it for 14 minutes, if he could have a camera. There was no limits. It had to be reasonably realistic. Can't go, I want a 7,000 megapixels and a 1 mil to 6,000 mil f2, whatever. You know, like a reasonably realistic camera that could probably, that's probably will be produced in the next 10 years, more than likely. What would you have? So after your 14-minute thought, what have you come up with?
Well, I quite like the idea of that sensor shift. So having a camera that you could expand the pixels of. I wouldn't want to take, you know, Nana's 95th birthday photos at 180 megapixels, you know, all that sort of stuff. So something that could expand for when I wanted to do it, I think that would be good. Another thing, and it might be out there already, but this is, it just basically started, you know, it was me thinking about what I wish I had on my camera, which is an X-T3.
Yeah.
And then some things that I haven't seen, which could be quite good.
Yeah.
So one was switchable modes. So you could have switchable modes that were completely customizable.
Yeah.
So if you switch the mode, it's basically like completely changing up your camera. So if I'm doing event photography or people photography, day in the life stuff, chasing the kids around the backyard, whatever.
Yeah.
I can have all my settings the way I like them. I can have all my buttons mapped the way I like them for that. So, you know, reaching, you know. So I probably wouldn't look at the histogram if I'm taking photos of the kids in the backyard.
No. I feel like you can kind of already do that.
You can kind of do that, but then I want to switch it and then have a complete, you know, remapping, you know, focus system. It's all just already done.
Yeah.
It's already set up. I don't have to go into this menu, change that. This menu, change that. This menu, change that.
So I don't feel like I would look at any of that though. Because I'd shoot the same most of the time.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But you're primarily landscape.
Yeah.
So if I'm landscape to street, one thing I'd like to do is say flick a button and now I'm in street mode, so it's silenced my camera. I've got no shutter speed, shutter sounds.
Yeah.
You know, it switches it over to the electronic shutter automatically.
Yeah.
You know, the focus metering mode, changes, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
okay. You know?
Yeah.
It
all
just happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like
you can do things for a point, but it's not a
full switch.
Yeah, and like on the Canons, they've got the C123 buttons.
C123, yeah.
But they are limited.
Yeah, they are, yeah. And I remember when you turn, then you'd turn your camera off and on, and it wouldn't have memory. So if you set your settings for, I don't know, let's say 100 ISO f/8 and 30th of a second, then you change your shutter speed to 50th of a second, and your camera automatically turned off from the 1 minute timer that you had switched on, right? Or you turned your camera off, you turn it back on again, and it'd be back down to 30th of a second.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that because I was like, oh, I want to set these custom settings up. Yeah. And I on my 5D3. Because it would have been a 5D3. And there was 1, 2, and 3, I think. C1, 2, and 3. And I was like, oh, God, this is awesome. I'm going to start using this. And then I thought to myself, okay, well, what, you know, I'd have 100 ISO, F11, and 1 second, you know, because then you can just, you know, before you even turn the camera on, you just know that you can be straight into it. But then I didn't realize that once you turned the camera off, it would jump back into that same settings again, which, you know, kind of got annoying.
Yeah. So I didn't really use the
settings again. No. And after that, I didn't use it again.
I think if you're, say, a product photographer. Yeah. In a studio or whatever, regular setups, then maybe that sort of thing would be beneficial. Same lighting, everything's controlled, then maybe that'd be beneficial. But, you know, I'm not, so.
I guess the thing is, too, yawning tonight. I'm quite tired.
You did say you're quite tired.
I'm a tired man. I've been running a lot. I feel like it's if you know your camera well enough, like most – even people that just use their camera on the weekend consistently, you know your camera well enough that even those custom settings on Canon, like what you're saying is a bit different to what the Canon C custom 1, 2, 3s were.
Yeah.
But if you know it well enough, you can just go bang and switch your camera around pretty quick anyway, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But with your stuff, it's a bit tricky, like with what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the big one was, going into stealth mode.
Yeah.
In a hurry would be good. But that's buried in menus. You're never going to be able to.
You could probably put it. I had to look
through the functions, and there was one, I think it was might be shutter noise or something. I like having a shutter noise because I missed that from SLR days.
Yeah.
The mirrorless is, it's silent.
Yeah.
And, I still like having that feedback, even though I'm not getting a faint tactile feedback of the mirror flapping up and down again.
Yeah, the shutter still moves, though, obviously.
Is there a shutter in mirrorless cameras?
Of course there is. Has to be a shutter. There's still a curtain shutter on it.
Is there?
You can turn it off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Probably so you can have it electronic or you can have it mechanical. Yeah. Or you can have it both. So I've got mine mechanical and
of course, I've got mechanical
electronic after a certain shutter speed. So anything, I can't remember the numbers. Someone will pull me up. But anything below 1/1000th of a second, I think, is mechanical. And then anything above that's electronic or one way or another.
Yeah, you can have different settings. There's like 4 different settings between the different mechanical and electronic and when mechanical, they switch electronic over or, and
something else. But that's
expanded electronic, I think, was another 30 frames a second.
Thank you very much. 30.
That's
a perfect amount. The electronics, still gotta have a shutter. It's not a phone. Your phone doesn't have a shutter, obviously, because it's just a lens. But your mirrorless camera still has a mechanical shutter that flaps up and down.
Yeah, right.
Just doesn't have the mirror.
Yeah, okay.
And the same function. How many megapixels would your camera have?
I'm kind of happy with 24, but there's plenty of times. Like for landscape, I'd probably rather have closer to 50.
Yeah.
Just cause. Then it's there because if there was a shot that I was really happy with,
you can blow it up to 50
quite comfortably. And
I feel like you can get away with a fair bit with 24.
You can. Yeah. And you're still printing a meter quite comfortably at 24.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just kind of like the idea of printing a wall, even though I'd never do it. But
no.
I kind of like the idea.
Yeah.
The thing that shits me about the Fuji X-T3, just about anything over anything else, is the lens release button.
Yeah.
As you're looking at the front of the camera, it's on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And you're normally holding, well, I'm a right-hander, but I normally hold the camera in my left hand and then hold on the lens, rotate it off with my right, and then put it back on with my right. And the button is on the kind of shutter button side of the camera.
Yeah.
So now it's just awkward. Really? You always,
I've never thought about it. Yeah.
If you're holding a camera, your right hand's normally hovering around the shutter.
Yeah.
Your left hand's either supporting the lens or supporting that left hand corner of the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the position of the hands.
Yeah.
When you got to change lenses, now you got to shift your hand kind of under your right hand, your left hand under your right hand, to reach that button that's on, that side of the lens, and then rotate your lens off. And it's just not a...
I feel like that if you literally just drop your right hand down onto the button, you can just twist it off of your left hand.
Yeah, but I hold the lens with my right hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so maybe I've just learnt my way out of it.
Yeah. So Canon's got it on... As you're looking at the camera on the right-hand side.
It's on the left.
Yeah. On the left as you've got behind the camera, but it's on the opposite side.
Yeah.
And I just felt that was, because your index or middle finger's on that button and the rest of the camera body's cradled in your palm. Otherwise, you either got to use your little finger. Like for me, either using my little finger or I'm moving my hands
around. I wouldn't do that. I'd literally just use my ring finger on my right hand. Well, this is what I do: move my ring finger down onto the shutter, and twist my lens off with my left hand.
Yeah. So it's probably how left-handers have felt all this time, having the shutter button on the right hand side of the camera.
Maybe they should make a left-handed camera. Welcome to Adam's Cameras. We have decided that we're going to make a left-handed camera, and it's going to be the best camera ever. So all you right-handers can jog right on.
Left-handed camera store.
Woo!
Yeah.
That'll be a winner.
Another idea I had was, so when you push in the button to release the lens, it mechanically closes the shutter to protect your sensor. It's on a mirrorless, it's so close.
Yeah.
It's, so much more exposed to, dust and debris getting in.
I've seen something like that. Maybe I reckon one camera might do that. In some fashion. The Fuji's don't know.
I mean, maybe there's just not space to fit something in. Well, the shutter must be there.
Shutter's there. I'm surprised it doesn't shut down, actually. Yeah. Or even when the camera turns off, why doesn't the shutter just go down? Because most of the time you're going to turn your camera off to take your lens off. Not always, but, sometimes. So it's like if you turned your camera off, shutter went down, covered up the sensor.
Yep.
And then, but then I feel like maybe the sensor's pretty delicate and the shutter curtain's pretty delicate as well. I don't know.
Maybe it's I don't think it should do it every time you shut the camera off because then that's a shutter acceleration and that'll wear out the shutter.
True.
Much sooner. But if it was just every time you change your lens.
Depends on how much you change your lens, hey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Another thing, maybe built-in NDs. Remember the Panasonic, was it the P1 that we were using at uni?
Yeah, yeah.
They had built-in NDs.
P1s, yeah. Yep. There is, Canon have, with their RF mount, they have a lens mount adapter thing that they put in it. It's got a variable in it.
Okay.
Behind the lens, in between the lens and the sensor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
With every camera or with a particular lens? No, it's like
you buy this thing.
It's kind of like a teleconverter that something you connect in between.
It's for that new system, for the R mount system. R mount? Yeah. R mount? RS and RF or something? I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not up with
it. No, I'm not up with the lingo of Canon anymore.
I don't really care.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's as far as I got in 12 to 14 minutes.
That's a lot. More than me.
I did think of an ultimate lens.
Yeah, what's your ultimate lens?
Ultimate lens, a tack sharp
Yep.
Tack sharp.
Yep.
So it's primarily for landscape.
Of course.
So Twitchers wouldn't like it because, you know, it wouldn't be fast enough.
Nah.
But I, you know, so a 16 to, say, 300.
Yep. That's 11.
F4, 5.6, I don't care. It can have a higher aperture.
Oh, you don't care? Cool.
Don't
care. Yep.
It can have want to be slow lightweight. As hell autofocus. I don't care how big it is.
Yeah, okay.
I just want one lens so that...
Do everything.
Yeah, so I can fit in what I want to fit in, cut out what I want to cut out, compress when I want to compress, distort when I want to distort. It's just one lens. It's 4 kilos. It's the size of, you know, a Besser block.
Yeah.
And it's got beautiful image quality.
Yeah.
And
but it's 5.6. Yeah, well, that.
Why not?
Well, nah.
Why not?
Bugger that. I'm out. I wouldn't be buying that.
Why not?
Wouldn't sell. No one would buy it.
How often? All right, landscape. How often do you shoot below 5.6?
Never.
Astro outside. Yeah, Astro.
But I'm just thinking about everything else.
Yeah.
Astro. I'd be thinking more of Astro. Yeah. Astro would be the thing that I would that would push me to want that low aperture.
Then you get a dedicated Astro lens. Most people already have a dedicated Astro lens.
Nah, but I wouldn't have one if I had my perfect lens. I wouldn't even be that greedy.
What do you mean?
I reckon mine would be.
I'd be happy enough with the 200, but I thought, well, let's just whack another 100 on it.
Full frame equivalent. I'd go. I reckon I'd just go because you kind of well. If you're gonna go crazy, I'd go like a 16 to 200. Yeah, sure.
Hmm.
16 200 1.8. I reckon. I've always thought it'd be a good lens, but then realistically, I think within the next couple of years we'll see a 15, 16, or maybe an 18 full frame equivalent. Mm. 18 mil to
150.
No, I don't even reckon that. I reckon maybe 80, 1.8. I reckon it'd be banging. Be amazing. That'd be an amazing lens.
I reckon Fuji's got one coming out.
I'd buy one of them tomorrow.
They've got something to 80 coming out.
It is a 16 to 80 f4. Which is a 24 to 120.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's part of the new.
Oh, but it's F4 though. You want
it's F4.
You want 1.8.
Oh, 1.8.
But why? You just said that you don't use it outside Astro.
Yeah, but just for Astro.
But you just have your dedicated Astro lens.
Nah, because we're living in dreamland here. And I'd use it for shooting portraits of my kids that I don't have yet.
Mm.
Yep.
Autofocus might be slow.
Nah, it'd be fast. It'd be super fast. It'd be a big motor on the side of it.
Yeah.
diesel powered.
Start up the Jenny to use it.
Imagine that. You're at a portrait session. You're like, hold on, guys. Or at a wedding, right? You rocked up to a wedding. You've got your Jenny over your left shoulder.
Just move over to the left there. Just over the
left a bit. Just like you got your hand. Oh shit! Sorry, God, chuck some more two-stroke. What's it called? Two-stroke filter in there. You know, here we go. We'll start him up again. Yep. And then it's like grinding.
That is horrible listening.
Yeah, and then you plug it into the side of the lens, and autofocus is quick could be. Straight onto it.
Yeah.
Be just locked straight on.
Mm.
67,000 autofocus points that you never use. You only use 7 of them. For some reason, we still want 400 and something. But most of the time, it's like, I just can't be bothered clicking through all of them.
Mm.
Who could be bothered? Who uses all? I know, like the new A7R4. Mm. It's got like 412 autofocus points.
We got 425 in our Fuji.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything worse. It takes me long enough to click through my 20 that I've got on my screen.
But it's autofocus, so you don't have to select them.
Yeah, but it depends if you can be bothered.
Mm. But I think it's more for tracking.
I think it's more for tracking. Yeah, of course. But like for single point. I've only got like 20 selected or something.
Single point, center weighted, bang.
Done deal.
Rejig your frame and then snap it off.
So my perfect camera, I'd have a 7,250 megapixel camera. No, I'd have a 32 megapixel, medium format.
Oh, yeah, I love the medium format.
Yeah. I reckon like a 32 megapixel, actually,
large format. I'd have a large format sensor.
Why not, eh?
Yeah.
It's as big as this. It's as big as that block there.
It's just an
8x10. It's an 8x10 slide that you slide in and out.
Yep.
I reckon a 30, like a low megapixel medium format.
Mm.
I wonder if, I don't know whether it would flip around and make noise really good, or I don't know the mechanics behind it. I know that medium formats generally are pretty noisy, the higher you pump your ISOs anyway, which kind of goes off the rule of a bigger sensor, less noise. It doesn't really work like that with medium format for some reason. But yeah, ideally you'd have I'd have a medium format, so I'd have a big sensor, less megapixels on it. That's a lie, actually. I don't reckon I would. I reckon it'd be just full frame. I reckon full frame is enough. Like a lower megapixel full frame. Mm. Because I don't really... I think the megapixel war is kind of over. I don't know why they keep making them bigger and bigger. I think it's just a wank thing more than anything else to try to sell more cameras.
Yeah, most of it's marketing. Mm. Most of it's marketing. Mm. I think the benefit of a medium format... My mic's dropped in. Benefit of the medium format is that you get that... slight image compression, and, you know, three-dimensional separation of the objects and stuff, of a longer lens.
Longer focal length, yeah.
But at a wider focal length.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
But outside that, I mean...
Nah, you know what? I'll do it then.
Megapixels.
You know,
let's you don't do need a megapixel.
Let's do it. Let's just go to like a 30, even like a 50. I reckon a 50 megapixel medium format's plenty anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have my 16 mil to 100. I reckon 100 would be enough on a medium format.
Mm.
Full prime equivalent, because that would end up being like a 23 to 125 or something.
Mm.
Probably work out pretty well.
Mm.
And that'd be the dream, I reckon.
Yep.
But I don't know how Astro would shoot with, shooting high ISOs with your medium format. There's your problem.
Well, apparently that GFX 100's just solved the still, noise.
Still does all right, you problem. Reckon?
Yeah.
Sure. I haven't used one
yet. Yeah, backlit sensor though.
Yeah.
Which I think helps noise.
I don't know. I reckon I've got, I was telling someone the other day, I don't know whether it was you or whether it was mate Steve. I reckon I've just got a bad copy of my X-T3. I reckon it's just rubbish.
Yeah, you were going to have a look at mine.
Yeah.
And borrow mine or use mine or something.
I might borrow it sometime and just compare them. Because I was shooting some stuff at it wasn't even crazy high ISOs.
Is it consistent?
Yes.
Always performs the same? Or
always performs badly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, or it's fine, but it's average. You know, it's not as good as what I think it should be. Not compared to...
How was it compared to the X-T2 that you had?
Well, I think ages. I think it's not as good as the X-T2.
Right.
I never feel like I get my white balance right in the camera, which is super annoying. Because, I just want to look at correctly white balance on the back of the screen. Especially when you're shooting all day, like you're flicking through your images and you're like, well, I can't just be correctly white balanced. Like, even though I'll adjust it for days, even auto, I go full auto with my white balance, which is how I shoot a lot of the time anyway. And it still makes it rubbish a lot of the time.
You haven't got any weird color tint things automatically done something?
Nah. Checked that 100 times. and noise performance is rubbish. Really bad. Like, it looks fine, but it doesn't look anywhere near as good as what I think it should look. You know, I know that it is a crop sensor camera and it's going to look a little bit worse than a full frame. Mm. But even at like 1200 ISO or 1250 or whatever it ends up being, I was shooting some portraits the other day in 1250 ISO. It just looked rough. Looked terrible.
What sort of light did you have?
Reasonable. Like daylight.
Daylight.
Outdoors. Full daylight. A little bit of shade. Not enough to worry about.
Oh, you're outdoors?
Outdoors. Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's terrible. I was like, oh, this is a bit rubbish.
Mm.
It's just annoying. I just don't think it's the best. Maybe it's just a bad copy.
Mm. I've noticed that my, that photo that I mentioned last week.
Yep.
The two kids.
Yeah.
That was shot at, like, I don't know, it was either 1600 or 20 something or 3200 or I'm not sure. But I'd have to have a look at the file. But that was inside, overcast day. Yep. The only light was the open window that had, you know, the sheeny curtain thing there. So it was really soft diffuse light.
Yeah.
Quite dull for the camera. And so I think that grungy thing I was complaining of, that, you know, obviously affected the image. So if you're just with a higher ISO, it sort of does dirty up the image a bit.
Yeah.
Color doesn't render out as nicely. Yeah. So
it's
but I've noticed in low light conditions where you do kind of, you know, tend to bump up ISO to compensate.
Yeah.
It doesn't yield as clean a result.
No.
As, say, being outdoors in a well-lit or indoors in a really well-lit and you're bumping up ISO because you're trying to get the shutter speed up.
Shutter speed faster, yeah.
But still have, you know, like a large aperture or something, you know, the depth.
Yeah.
Interior depth or whatever. But
so I've even thought at times that maybe I'll just keep using, I was going, just grab my X-T2 and just keep using that. Yeah, there's been times where I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just going to use my X-T2.
Have you shot side by side?
No, because I don't have lenses.
Well, you got two tripods. You got your travel and your Gitzo.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
So just swap
lenses over.
Mm.
Yeah, true. Yeah, maybe I'll try that. I'll take them away on the weekend maybe and give that a burl.
Mm.
Could be something. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky one.
Mm.
Maybe I need to manage my expectations a little bit better.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe you're just wanker.
Maybe I'm just not as good a person as what I think I am.
Maybe you're too good and that's the problem.
That's maybe I am. You know, there's a problem. Could be a massive problem.
Mm.
There you go. So that's the dream.
That's the dream.
And to be honest, I think, you know, especially the lenses. Lenses have come a long way, and they're going to keep going really well. So, I think even in 5 years' time, we'll probably have lenses like that. We'll have some reasonably long. I'd like to see more wide-angle zooms that go a little bit wider, a little bit longer. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, instead of a 16-35, like a 16-50.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and even if it ended up being a variable aperture.
I mean, you
know, even like a 16-50, 2.8-4.
Yep.
How good would that be?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Fuji's little kit lens is, what's that? Is that 16 to?
18-55. But it's
18-55. That's variable aperture, but it's
that's
not.
20. That's 27 to 70.
Yeah.
It's a crop, remember? Yeah, so like full frame.
Remember. All right.
God, bloody, calm down, Adam. No, kidding. Ben's shaking his head at something. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like a full frame equivalent, 16 to 50. I'm surprised that stuff like that hasn't started to happen.
I think it's, we'll see how this 20 to, what was it? 10 to 25 or, you know, 20 to 50 thing from Panasonic.
Well, it's been getting good drives.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you don't, yeah, what, yeah.
What do you need? I guess it comes down to it.
Well, that's it. I guess, for film, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm just sort of thinking about the wide aperture.
Yeah.
1.7. But so your light for film. Film is typically in a controlled lighting. So you don't really need.
Yeah, it depends on what you're using it for, though.
Yeah. Apart from shallow depth of field, you don't really need 1.7 because you're lighting for it. Your shutter speed's what? 25th?
You might want it for your depth of field. And you got to remember that it's going on Micro Four Thirds camera. So you're gonna lose a little bit of depth of field and bokeh and everything from going on Micro Four Thirds sensor.
Mm.
So that's why it's like a 1.7 because it's really like a 2.8 equivalent. thereabouts, like 2.4 probably. Yeah, so it's still gonna give you a similar result to a, let's say, a 16-35, 2.8 from Canon. It's gonna look similar, but it's just a different lens.
Yeah, right.
I would say depth of field wise, it would be very similar to a 16-35, 2.8.
Yeah,
I would say. But I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot of the time. I get told that a bit.
Oh, well.
You tell me all the time. I often cry. Why do I even keep coming? Why do I keep coming to this podcast?
Free feed.
Yeah, get a free feed.
Yeah.
That's good. Some whiskey. You know, I would have more, but I feel like if I had any more whiskey, I'd fall asleep.
Yeah, so that's why I'm probably going to have another one.
Yep.
After you're gone.
And you'll fall asleep.
Just like a baby.
Duck off.
Yep.
Duck off like one of your children.
Otherwise, I lie down in bed and then bang, my mind is just, let's go.
Let's do something.
Yeah.
Let's do something fun tonight, Ben.
Mm.
You've got like this.
To start designing.
It's like you've got this little, it's like you're living with a housemate, isn't it? Living with a housemate that just wants to drink all the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, okay then, let's go. We'll buy a slab. We're only buying one. We're only buying one slab. Once that's gone, we'll have no more. We'll have no more.
Well, see, he doesn't want to drink. He just wants to make stuff.
Yeah. Oh, does he?
Yeah. Except there's four of them.
Yeah.
And they're all just like, oh, we can do this. Oh, no. No, we can do this. Let's do everything.
Let's do it all.
And I'm just like, twice. Oh, okay, guys. Yeah, I'll give it a go.
All right, let's go. We'll go do it right now. Yeah. Before you know it, you're on Instagram scrolling through the popular page looking at woodworking stuff.
I haven't actually been doing Instagram.
Not at all.
Say that at the start. Yeah, no.
Nah.
Like 2 inches today.
Yeah.
That was the first time in 3 weeks.
I still look at it. I'd still spend probably an hour and a half on Instagram every day.
Really?
Just looking at stuff.
Far out.
Looking at yoga stuff, looking at Vans, looking at BMX, looking at photos, like landscape photos, looking at other photos, looking at people I follow on YouTube. Yeah. I still use it a lot. I just not posting any images.
Yeah, wow.
Because, you know, just not.
That's what happens.
I've got some sitting there. This is the annoying thing. Got like some really good ones sitting there, just ready to get launched. And I'd have a heap still sitting in my Instagram, my Lightroom that just need to get chopped up as well.
Well, you need to put a rocket up here.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I
might do that. Might do that soon.
Yeah.
Give it an old crack of the whip. You know, get it over and done with.
Should.
What do you reckon?
I think we're done.
We're done. We're cooked.
Yeah.
Make sure you tag your photos, What the Focus picks, for the chance to win. Thanks again for Ted's for sponsoring this episode, as well as the podcast in general.
Yep.
You guys rock our world.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, thank you very much.
Until next time, let's sing a song. Let's sing an outro song. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
I'm not feeling it.
What the Focus podcast, yeah. See you later, guys.